taking now the scriptures and turning to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, we'll read through the end of chapter 4 and verse 6. So Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 6. Beloved, hear now the words of the Lord. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan, and the skillful enchanter. And I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, the inferior against the honorable. When a man lays hold of his brother in his father's house, saying, "You have a cloak, you shall be our ruler," and these ruins will be under your charge. He will protest on that day, saying, "I will not be your healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor cloak. You should not appoint me ruler of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. To rebel against his glorious presence, the expression of their faces bears witness against them. And they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with him, for what he deserves will be done to him. Oh, my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your paths. The Lord arises to contend and stands to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord of hosts. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps and tinkle the bangles on their feet, therefore the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. In that day the Lord will take away the beauty of their anklets, headbands, crescent ornaments, dangling earrings, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle chains, sashes, perfume boxes, amulets, finger rings, nose rings, festal robes, outer tunics, cloaks, money purses, hand mirrors, undergarments, turbans, and veils. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be putrefaction. Excuse me. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, a plucked-out scalp. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Your men will fall by the sword, and your mighty ones in battle. And her gates will lament and mourn. And deserted she will sit on the ground. For seven women will take hold of one man in that day, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach." In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the ornament of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter and to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. And thus far in God's Word. Now, chapter 3 outlines the disgrace of Judah. Since they have abandoned God's ways, they can expect the wrath of God. And so he's coming to judge, and he's about to take hold of the earth and to shake it, as we've learned. And so he will shake the leadership of Judah. That's what we see here. He will take the leadership out and replace them with those who ought not to be leaders. Taking out the leadership will make them, verse 8, stumble and fall. To do this, the Lord will make the leadership up of children and women. You see this in verses 4 and especially verse 12, which is read now. O my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. You see, before that, it was talking about the inferior coming against the honorable. The youth will storm against the elder in verse 5. And we see such things are a sign of judgment upon a nation. Like when we see Deborah in Judges telling leadership what should be done. And so Yahweh will bring a crippling of leadership. Verse 1 reveals the crippling of the economy and social order. He will remove the supply and support the bread and water. And thus, in about 100 years from this point in Isaiah, as Isaiah had this vision, Yahweh will bring the exile. Assyria will come and make conditions so bad that some in Jerusalem, as we read about in other parts of Scripture, they would eat their own children. And that verse 5 that was read already, the youth will storm against the elder, the inferior against the honorable, it's what we have today. Often we see in our country the rebellion of youth against their parents and the breaking of the fifth commandment. Romans 1 shows this as a sign of God's abandonment when disobedient children are going against their parents. It is anarchy. And today, modern man is guided by his own darkened heart. There is nothing to respect or obey. There are no principles to live or die for. Personal feeling, personal advancement, personal autonomy are the shrines at which people worship. Good government is a blessing from that God gives, Romans 13. A government which is, we know, is meant to ensure order and liberty and freedom of worship and to promote justice. When such leaders, like what we see in this chapter, are absent or replaced with those who should not be leaders, as they were in Judah, it is a time of much trouble. So there are multiple reasons for why this is happening given in this chapter, and yet the crux we see is in verses 8 and 9. God has been provoked. They aren't even trying to hide their wickedness. They're like Sodom, and yet not trying to hide. The same in our day. They display their sin like Sodom. They had their sins of superstition, materialism, idolatry, sensuality, sexual immorality. And all these things have provoked Yahweh and aroused Yahweh to wrath. And along with that theme that runs through Isaiah, we find another that is the purpose of God to advance His church by intermittent judgments. He's using His winnowing fork. He's sifting, separating good from evil. Here we see that language of the refiner's fire. He's separating His people from those who are not His people. And so that when we get to chapter 4, Judah's decaying. It's being like a tree seemed almost at its end, like we've seen in the past few years, different trees create, there's disease in the trees die, and yet other trees around it are fine and living. Judah's tree is almost at its end. But we see the picture from it would emerge a branch that would give it fresh life and renewal. The picture of something here is sprouting and coming up out of the ground, or a branch that grows from the stump or a trunk of a tree. In chapter 11, we find that the branch comes from the stump of Jesse's house. It's an offshoot of David. It is the Son of God promised. Thus, with all the threats that are being issued against Judah here in the first couple of chapters even, God has not forgotten His promise, which He's already made to David. And thus, with all the threats that have been issued against Judah, God has not forgotten His promise. David's house will continue to grow. Eventually, even though it decreases, it seems here, a branch will emerge. The judgment coming is that refiner's fire, again, from the fire which will produce that which is pure. When a nation finds itself as crippled as this one, there is only one remedy, and that is looking to Jesus. And that was Judah's answer here, as Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah, is pointing to them. When our own nation, beloved, has departed from God and is ripe for judgment, or is already in judgment, running headlong into destruction, the only remedy is what? Revival and restoration. It must proceed from God's own righteous branch, Jesus Christ. And so let us remember that now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we heard this morning about how You revived Your nation after the exile in Babylon in Nehemiah 8. We thank You that Your word went forth. They believed the doctrines taught therein, and their sin, they wept over their sin and turned to You with great celebration and joy, exalting in the Messiah, which we know is Jesus Christ. And here again this evening we read in Isaiah of the branch coming out of the trunk, that tree of Judah which has failed and is dying, seems to be all completely dead. The leadership has not stood against those who were attacking it, the youth and those who ought not to be leaders. And so they, children and women, have become leaders, and children are running homes instead of parents. Father, we live in a similar age, with now being given similar warnings. Father, we ask that You would bring about such revival, that we would not trust in government, for government fails often, the government of this world, that is. That we would not trust in outcomes of elections, or our city rulers, or state rulers, or federal rulers. Though we pray that You would save such people and bring peace and quiet lives to us, Your people, through them. Yeah, Father, we do not trust in them. We must not trust in them, but trust alone in Your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can bring true change to the church. He is the one who can bring true change to this nation and this world through the sending of the Spirit and revival and restoration. And so, Father, we plead for Your mercy. We know that just like Judah, we deserve judgment. We need to go through the refiner's fire, it seems. That You will purge out the wicked from the church, and You'll bring in Your elect, that they would believe on the salvation. Lord, we ask that we would be instruments in this process. for our good and for your good, for your glory. We pray that none here would be cast out and purged, but that all here would be purified, sanctified, and made holy and righteous. At that day when we enter into glory, we will be with all the saints who have been made perfect, we with them, and worship you forever and ever. But as we are on this earth, we ask that you would protect us and keep us. Provide for us your word, that we would love you above all worldly things. That we would not provoke you to wrath through our constant disobedience, but that when we sin, you will see the sacrifice of Christ for us and the life of his through his resurrection, which defeats the curse and death and grants life to us. Father, cause us to mourn for our nation and be grieved by it, and yet not led by it. Not led to fret or anxious thoughts, which are needless, because we have a God who is much greater than our nation and the rulers of it, who you say ordains those who are over us. And so, Lord, we pray that if there are at least a few righteous, you would spare us from great judgment. Father, we ask these things in your Son's name, who is the branch, Jesus Christ. Amen.